Blog Talk Radio.
MyMMAnews.com, your number one source for MMA news. Follow us on social media at MyMMAnews. Follow myself, host Kyle Carroll, on Twitter at Jiblitz77. That's JIGLITZ77. For all the latest MMA news, be sure to follow us on MyMMAnews.com. We get photos, interviews, you get it all right there on MyMMAnews.com. Be sure to follow us. And then tonight's show, we have joined by co-owner Tom Kilkenny. So I'd like to welcome Tom at this point. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Kyle. Music is really loud.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know why it's not responding. Now it's set to be off. But there we go. Excellent.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you perfect, Kyle. How
excellent.
Are you?
I'm doing well. Well, Tom, before we get into talking about Worlds Collide and the meet and greet, you want to just tell us a little bit how you got into promoting MMA, how you became a co-owner of Aggressive Combat Championships?
Well, it's a double-edged question. I believe you wanted to know how I got involved in promoting, or you wanted to know how I got involved in martial arts, mixed martial arts. Which one do you want to know? I can answer both.
Well, yeah, if you could answer both, that'd be awesome. I know you started at martial arts when you were younger. Sure. Just take us through it, please.
Sure. You know, for me, myself, I started as a younger individual, you know, especially in the neighborhood where I grew up, a lot of kids were taking martial arts. Thank God for myself. The first martial art that I took was American Combat Karate, which is, you know, obviously the acronym is ACK, which was, you know, was Richie Barathe and, you know, Lenny Romeo and Frank Finnegan and, you know, Renche Willing. You know, so I had a really nice upbringing into martial arts, and then transition over to Taizen Jiu-Jitsu, which was Japanese style Jiu-Jitsu, more street style than anything else, more self-defense. And then as I got a little older, that's when I started to really roll into, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, kickboxing. And, you know, eventually you start putting everything together, and hence, that's where we get the acronym MMA from, mixed martial arts. So I've been in the martial arts community, wow, since I'm 11 years old. I'm going to be 45 in 2 months. So I've been around for a little while.
Awesome.
I would say probably, you know, the second question that you had was, how did I get involved in getting involved in promotions of martial arts? I would probably say the first venture that I had into promoting martial arts was, you know, and it was an introduction to Eugene Perez as well, was Grappler's Quest. Brian Simmons, who is the proprietor and, you know, the founder of Grappler's Quest, which pioneered what I feel the independent grappling community, and, you know, he's getting ready to take off again, which is phenomenal. But that's where I first started getting my my wings in promoting, and it was promoting on a grappling level. And then both myself, Eugene Perez, and Jerry Mendez started running some small grappling tournaments in a local area, you know, in the Hudson Valley, out on Long Island. And, you know, at one point, it was just so much work in running these grappling tournaments that I told Eugene, I said, you know, I really think it's time that we, you know, we put together a striking promotion, you know, whether it be kickboxing, combat jiu-jitsu. MMA was considered completely taboo back then. You just didn't touch it. You know, any type of MMA that was being done was actually being done in the basements. And, you know, as Jim Genie and others would say, it's, you know, after those events, you probably needed a tetanus shot to leave the facility. So, you know, Eugene was at first very reluctant to do it. And, you know, I'm always a person that, you know, the only way you're going to live life is by taking chances. I've been brought up around the striking community most of my life. You know, Eugene got his start in the grappling community. So sometimes you get really comfortable in the areas that you feel most comfortable in. Eugene and I wound up doing our first, it was a mixed card event. It was out on Long Island. And after the night, the night was electric. I mean, almost anything and everything that could have went wrong the first night did. I live about 45 minutes to an hour north of New York City. And we wound up having a snowstorm in October. And we wound up getting about 2 feet worth of snow. And it was October 29th. I'll never forget it. And it took me 4.5 hours to get out to Long Island.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, you know, but when all was said and done after the evening, Eugene and I looked at one another, you know, and this was the start of Aggressive Combat Sports. You know, Jerry Mendez is the founder of Aggressive Combat Sports. Jerry moved down to Florida. He wasn't really doing much with it. And he just said, guys, you guys are ready to take this to another level. So just, you know, have at it. Take it to where you need to take it. And that's really what Eugene and I did. And, you know, we did that first event down in Bohemia, Long Island. Eugene looked at me afterwards and he just said, I don't ever want to do another grappling tournament again unless it's, you know, for Brian. And I said, I don't blame you. And, you know, that was the true birth of Aggressive Combat Sports. You know, that event had to have been like 6 or 7 years ago that we ran that event. You know, we were the, you know, ran a lot of mixed card events.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, in typical Tom Kilkenny fashion, I talk way too much, and I apologize.
No,
you're
fine. No, it's perfect.
So what wound up happening was we ran probably about 25 or 30 mixed card events. And then finally, we heard of some of the loopholes in the MMA law that amateur combative sports was not overseen by the New York State Athletic Commission. And by definition, there was nothing in the law that said that amateur MMA was illegal. So Eugene and I, of course, always wanting to be innovative. Not, I don't want to use the word innovators because, you know what, in every other state except for New York, the innovation was already up and running and it was happening. We wanted to be the risk taker. And we said, you know what, we want to be the first in New York City to run an amateur MMA event. And hence on January 26th, I believe it was 2012, Eugene Perez and myself ran New York, the Metropolitan New York's very first fully sanctioned amateur mixed martial arts event. And that was regulated by the United States Muay Thai Association. haven't looked back since then. We've stepped it up day after day. I love what I do. It's a passion. From there, because things have grown. The United States Muay Thai Association has grown. I think that when I had originally started, it really was to get involved and just be a part. And then as I saw time go on, I just saw so many promotions that probably should not be doing what they're doing. You know, sometimes it's just there's the wrong people doing the wrong things at the wrong time and at the wrong place. And I think that's when my passion really set in for, giving the fighters a well-matched event, well-regulated with safety being paramount. And
I find it fascinating that you say that, Tom, because, you're talking from the very first promotional event that you guys did. You guys found or had a sanctioning body come in knowing that it was important for outsiders to keep watch for the safety of the fighters, which I think is important, which some promotions in New York State still don't even do that.
You know what? Well, that actually, as of January 1st, we knock on wood that changed. Well, actually, excuse me, September 1st. I apologize. That all changed. You have to use a third-party regulatory body if it's an amateur or if it's a professional Muay Thai or kickboxing event. If it's a professional MMA event, the New York State Athletic Commission oversees that. But if anybody chooses to run an event that is not regulated by a New York State Athletic Commission approved third-party sanctioning body or the commission itself, the event is deemed illegal. It could be shut down. There could be civil fines, civil penalties. I just want to make sure that that's super clear too. I was also very involved with talking with the commission in regards to many of the rules and regulations for the state of New York, especially for amateur MMA. Hence, you could see Eugene and I had a very, very large role in writing the rules and regulations for amateur MMA for the United States Muay Thai Association back in 2012. With the addition of Ed Kinner and of course one of our chief of officials, actually our chief of official, Alexius Phoenix. You know, we tweak a few things here and there. We didn't tweak a whole lot. Probably we didn't tweak much at all. And if you really take a look at the rules and regulations that we had set forth in 2012, they are, for the most part, they're identical to what the New York State Athletic Commission has approved in the state of New York today.
At any point when they were writing the rules for the recent governing body of for MMA in New York State, was there any when you guys were going through and all, was there any certain rules that maybe were being left out that you something you were very stern on that you believe had to be inside, be a part of it without, in order to go forward?
Yes. And one of the rules that I felt should absolutely be a must is that referees should be ABC certified officials. Okay. And here's the thing: it's as adamant as I was about certain things. And again, the New York State Athletic Commission was going to put what they wanted in place, regardless of what I had to say, anybody at the WKA had to say, so forth and so on. I have to give tip my cap to the New York State Athletic Commission. They hired Kim Sumler. Kim Sumler is a fantastic individual. He's very knowledgeable. She used to run the Seneca Commission up in upstate New York, which runs a lot of professional mixed martial arts events. I got introduced to her by one of my dear friends, Big Dan Miglerata. And Dan said, this is definitely, you know, vice versa. He said, Kim, Tom is somebody who you definitely want to talk to. Tom, you definitely want to talk to Kim because, you know, we need to make sure that New York is in line with everything. And there wasn't much that Kim and I spoke on that we had any disagreements whatsoever. You know, we wanted the referees to be ABC certified. You know, we wanted to make sure that we were going to incorporate a novice rules so that, you know, competitors can ease their way into the sport. The novice rules, of course, you know, you wear shin pads, there's no ground and pound, and you have to have a minimum of 2 fights before you can move into that advanced level, hence the no shin pads, full ground and pound. Because
I'm a,
You know what? It's better for the sport. I mean, when all is said and done, we want to watch the sport grow. We want to watch it really take off. And how many people, Kyle, do you think step into the cage? You know, they might be purple belts in jiu-jitsu and they're fantastic. And over the last 6 months, they started taking up striking and they feel like they're ready to go to that next level. They get into the cage, they get into a position and, you know, they go X guard, you know, and people in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They go butterfly guard, they go X guard, and their sport jiu-jitsu starts to play a role in their head. And yet this person who they're competing against is a full mixed martial artist. They've been putting it together. They started doing mixed martial arts from day one, and they post up and they start landing some ground and pound. All of a sudden, that fighter's taking a look and saying, you know what, I don't belong in this cage. You know, and I think that by having those novice rules in place, where you can't strike to the head of an opponent on the ground. I mean, you can strike to the body, but you can't strike to the head. That fighter immediately looks and says, you know, holy geez, you know, I'm sitting here friggin' going X guard on this guy. If this was an advanced rules, this guy would be grounding and pounding me. It really gives them an opportunity. Exactly. It gives them an opportunity to go back to the lab and say, you know what? I got to work on my lockdown. I got to work on my defense. And I got to work on my escapes. Because these are some of the things that if this was an advanced rules fight, I would may have gotten hurt, you know, and the fight would have ended early. So it really allows that fighter to grow as a competitor in a sport. And I believe it really keeps people safe because it's either going to tell people this is for me and I can grow on this because I know I could go back to the workshop and sharpen my tools. Or you know what? I tried it. I got out of it safe because it was novice rules. And I feel very, very comfortable with saying this sport is not for me. I'll stick with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or I'll stick with Muay Thai. Not saying that either one of those sports are not as physical as mixed martial arts.
I definitely agree 100%. Like, you think about it, when these amateur fighters first get in the cage, no one's seen them fight before. No one really knows what they're capable of. Like, it's one thing to be in the gym, you're hitting bags, you're training, sparring with people. But when you actually get, everyone, like Tyson says, everyone's got a game plan until they get hit in the face. And, you know, some people, you don't know their talent level until you've seen them fight or actually get in there. And like you said, you don't want someone beating the hell out of a less talented opponent, and then they're out of the sport for good. And I think it's important, too, to being amateurs, that it helps the longevity of their career and they're being able to not take as much punishment early in their career during the amateur where they're not getting paid, they're not really getting anything out of it other than building up a career, pretty much practice. It's like the preseason of a professional career, and then once they get to professional, then you could go from there. But I definitely think that's a great rule. Now, anyone who wants to call in, feel free to call in and ask Tom Kilkenny a question. The number is 323-870-4011. So be sure to call in if you have a question. We'd love to hear from you. Tom, you and Eugene Perez are doing something that, and Nick Canovio of KTFO are doing something that really unheard of in the mixed martial arts community. You guys are combining your promotions together to make a pretty much a super card, and it's looking like a super card. I know everyone in the area, in the New York State, Long Island, tri-state area, are buzzing about it. All the fighters are excited about it. A lot of people are like, I want to get to this fight. You want to talk a little, tell us a little bit how it came about, how all of a sudden you guys just decided, hey, let's combine forces.
You know, it's again, earlier on in our conversation, you know, Eugene and I have, you know, have always been risk takers, and, you know, overseeing certain shows, the United States Muay Thai Association, you know, KTFO MMA Platinum Gloves was one of the events that I had the opportunity and pleasure to oversee as a regulator. And the one thing that I noticed about Nick Canobio was his level of professionalism, his marketing strategies, his production level was really nice. And, you know, and I was always very fond of that. You know, one of the qualities that Eugene Perez has is Eugene has a great knack of putting fights together that are super exciting. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who will say that, you know, they're competitors of aggressive combat championships in New York. And, you know, I'll always sit there. You're not a promoter unless you say you're the best, you know. And so I don't take offense when I hear other promoters say, you know, New York's number one or we're the best. If you're not saying that, you're not a good promoter. That means you're not promoting your brand the right way. But I honestly have to say, and I think that if you give an opinion to many others out there, aggressive combat championships always puts on probably the most exciting, well-matched fight, bar none regardless. I took a look at it as an opportunity, and I reached out to Nick. And I always said to myself, you know, I had a couple other promotions and say, hey, we should do something joint together. Eugene and I have a very careful balance in our relationship. We know what's going to bother one another. We know how to feed off one another. And it's worked out really well for a number of years. Adding a third person to the mix, you really have to worry about the chemistry that's going to take place between three individuals. I knew, happened to have, you know, being in the financial industry and working with people in the industry of finance, you really get an opportunity to read people, because that's what I have to do day in and day out. I have to read signal. And the one thing that I noticed that Nick was very easy to work with, very professional. And I mentioned to Eugene, I said, I really think that we should do something. We should do a joint promotion. And if there's any person that I feel comfortable doing it, it would be somebody like Nick Canobio. Eugene was very open to the idea. I called up Nick. We started the ball rolling from there. At that point, we all decided that it's something that we did want to move forward with. And it's been sky's the limit there. And, you know, the one thing that we wanted to set the tone was in New York, you know, you have a bunch of amateur mixed martial arts promotions. You know, there are certain aspects of each promotion that are decent and good. And there are certain aspects of all the promotions that are absolutely terrible. And some of these individuals that even call their promotions the best, I can probably find three or four different things that I'm just like, wow, you know, as a regulator, somebody who looks at safety and regulation, it appalls me to see some of these things. But, you know, I'll leave that to the New York State Athletic Commission. I know that will never, ever happen on a USMTA watch, not as long as I am a director at the USMTA. But for us to get back on track, it just made sense. We were going to put together some of the greatest fights that were going to take place on the amateur level in the tri-state area. We were going to team up with Nick for marketing and production. obviously, you know, Kyle, you've been at the space. The space is an elegant, beautiful, clean, modern facility.
It reminds me of a very classic, like, look to it, too.
It really is, and again, I want to use the term because some people will look at it. It's not a music hall. It's more of a, and I don't even want to call it a concert hall. It is a pure venue. It's a beautiful venue where you walk in and you feel like you almost feel like you are being thrown back into the 1940s, but with, you know, everything being brand new and modern.
That's definitely the feel I had. Yep.
You almost felt like you were walking into, like, Sugar Ray's, you know, from, like, Harlem Nights and stuff. And it's so centrally located, and it's a beautiful venue. And, you know, at that point, just things really started to take off. And, you know, we started cultivating thoughts. And the one thing that we all said to one another is, you know what? There's a lot of different promotions all fighting, you know, for, you know, fight teams and fighters and everything else. Let's put on an event that the fight fans, the fighters, and the coaches say, why would I want to fight anywhere else? And the way that you do that is you give the fight fans the experience that they want. And what I mean by experience, I mean experience of a family atmosphere where you feel like you can show up to an event and, you know, your family. And when I use the word family, I'm talking about, you know, bringing your son or your daughter who might be 10, 11, 12 years old and very comfortable. I definitely don't think, you know, any sort of contact sport in the way of, you know, boxing or kickboxing or Muay Thai. I'm not a big fan of people bringing 2, 3, 4, and 5 year olds to those events because kids will certainly go into school and emulate what they see is going on. But, you know, we knew we were going to be able to put on a very well-regulated, very safe event. We knew we were going to be able to give the fighters, the coaches, and the fans a very first-class, top-notch venue to compete in. We already knew that, you know, we were going to put some of the best matched event, best match fights on that event. We knew we were getting involved again with Buffalo Wild Wings. We knew that Flow Combat was going to run the event. We knew Go Fight Live was going to be there. We knew we were going to have the best announcer in the business, bar none. I don't care what anybody says. You want to call up and you want to duel on this one, David Diamante. There is nobody in to me, David Diamante is world class. Amazing announcer.
Great guy too. Great guy.
You know what? He's the golden voice of the Barclays Center. The guy does HBO boxing, Showtime boxing, DiBella boxing, Star boxing. He does aggressive combat championships, and now he does Worlds Collide. The guy rubs shoulders with 50 Cent and Carmelo Anthony and just so many different individuals, top class. And we want to bring top notch to our fight fans and our fighters. What other announcer do you know, in the movie with Jake Gyllenhaal, you know, Southpaw, when, you know, the commentators say, we're going to go down to the ring with Dave Diamante. They didn't even give him a fake name. In the motion picture, they actually called him by his name. I mean, so, you know, Melissa Blasotti is, you know, going to, you know, of course, she's going to jump in and she's going to be, you know, our cage card girl who always is elegant and first class. She is Miss Aggressive Combat Championships. Nothing but love for her. The team itself is just phenomenal. We're so excited about this event. And, you know, we do have some big news that, you know, will be coming out this weekend. And, you know, we're certainly going to share that with my MMA news. We're very excited. You know, I guess that's the best way to put it.
Excellent. And we're looking forward to hearing it. You guys are putting on a great venue, a great announcer, sanctioning bodies, the fighters are safe, and like everything about it, like parking, there's plenty of parking, great parking. And then you guys built a fight card that's been unbelievable so far. Started off with 7 title fights. I believe one fight has been scratched because Matt Roman was injured.
Correct.
You want to talk about the fight card that you guys have coming up? Because like the fights I'm looking at, you got Golfin versus Vincent, Ott versus Coleman, Rodriguez versus Rodriguez. Those are two different people. And then you got Alcott versus Para, and then DeCourcy versus Van Zandt. Like that fight card's insane right now.
You know what? And I think I said it, once before to somebody. I'll put that fight card up against anybody's amateur MMA fight card in the Northeast. I mean, our main event, Jillian DeCourcy versus, Miss Van Zandt, two female fighters who have just been completely tearing up. I mean, Jillian's been tearing up the Northeast, for the better part of 2 years. And, Lindsey Van Zandt, both down in Florida and up here, has put together a very impressive record. Both of them come from great camps. Jillian, has a good striking coach in Ruiz, has an amazing jiu-jitsu coach in Professor Rob Gutierrez at East Coast United. Lindsey Van Zandt is from Precision MMA. Brian McLaughlin, McLaughlin is the one that corners the Miller brothers and many other UFC fighters. So you know that both those fighters are going to be prepared to come in and lay it on the line. I mean, that's the main event.
I'm looking forward to that, that's for sure.
I'm so stoked for that fight. My job is to produce and put on the fight show for everyone else. You'll find a lot of other promoters, and we'll get back into the fight card, Kyle. You'll find a lot of other promoters, come with shark skin suits and, doing up their hair, and everything is about them. Our job is to put a platform on for the fighters. It's their time to shine. They're the ones that put the 6 to 8 weeks of worth of a training camp in, got their friends and family to come down and watch them compete. It's their time to shine. It's not mine. It's not Eugene. It's not Nick's time to shine. It's their time to shine. So that's something that, that we live by, we'll continue to live by. The co-main event, Eric Ott versus Danny Coleman. It's two very tough fighters, somewhat new to the sport. You got, Eric Ott, who's 2-1. You have Danny Coleman, who's 2-0. Both of them tall, lanky fighters. Danny Coleman's a striker. Eric Ott is definitely the jiu-jitsu technician. Danny Coleman comes out of striking 101. Eric Ott comes out of Long Island MMA. Striking 101 has, a couple of professional fighters that do really, really well. Jerome Mickel being one of them. And Long Island MMA also breeds lots. And, he also trains out of Belmore Kickboxing. Those are two gyms that produce a lot of great professional fighters. So
I'm looking
really
forward to that fight as well. Yeah, it should be a good one.
It's going to be an amazing fight. You go down and it could – there are 6 fights that could be main event fights. And then you have the Battle of the Flacos. You got Danny Rodriguez versus Carlos Rodriguez. You got both guys that like to strike. And, that's going to be a fireworks fight. I mean, that's going to be an insane fight. And then you have Ron Leon versus, Humberto Pereira. Ron Leon has one loss. It's, it was at an aggressive combat championship event versus, our current 135 champion, Louis Gonzalez. But outside of that, I mean, Ron Leon's been tearing it up. I mean, he's fought on another promotion, and I think he's collected every single belt that they've had. They haven't been able to put somebody in front of him to beat him. And he's fighting, Humberto Pereira. Humberto Pereira comes out of Class 1 MMA, coaches Kenny Engi and Acevedo and, even more importantly, Alawale Bambooz, who's, a UFC superstar. So, you know, both, you know, good camps. Ron Leon's coming out of high next level mixed martial arts. And, you know, you have, you know, Umberto coming out of class one. And he even moved down the line. You know, you have Steve Inoshima versus Mike Fitzroy. Steve Inoshima, you know, out of Tiger Showman mixed martial arts. You know, fighting, you know, Mike Fitzroy, you know, also coming out of Long Island MMA. I'm trying to think of other fights because there's so many that are just, then you got, you know, Puglia versus, you know, Jamal Pottinger, you know, that's another great fight. It's, you know, East versus West, Brooklyn versus Long Island, you know, and then Gabriella Golfin versus Vincent. Yeah, you know, we're bringing Vincent up from the Carolinas, where, you know, I think she's getting a little tired of, you know, the competition in down south, and, you know, she wants to try her hand coming up north. And, you know, Gabriella Golfin, you just got promoted to purple belt. She's out of, you know, class one, and Marcelo Garcia. You know, she just got a purple belt from Marcelo Garcia. If you don't know who Marcelo Garcia is, and you don't know anything about Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and you need to check yourself at the door. yeah, it's just the fight card is insane. And, you know, and yep. You know, and if I haven't mentioned anybody's fight, you know, there's currently right now there's 15 fights that are solid on the card right now. Every single fight is an amazing fight. And I think that we have legitimately six fights that on any other promotion in the state of New York, it's main event by far. You have six main events on this fight card. And our featured fights are probably fights that could be main events on other cards as well. I mean, it's just, we're excited. And I think fight fans should be excited. I think that the tri-state should be very excited.
Definitely. And Worlds Collide takes place December 16th. That's Friday evening. Doors open at 7. Is that correct?
The doors actually open at 6.
Okay. And then the first fight's at 8?
The first fight is at 8 p.m. sharp. And anybody who knows me knows that one of the pet peeves I have is if you tell people something's going to start on time, you start it on time. If I'm 10 minutes late, I'm upset with myself. I didn't live up to the production that we're capable of. There are other fight promotions out there that it is habitual. They start 45 minutes, an hour late. I think one that is and if you've been doing this for more than a year or two, shame on you, because your fight fans are coming to watch your production for their fighters. It's unfair to the fighters. The fighters are sitting there waiting. They can't wait to put their work in. Some of these fighters aren't, you know, climbing into the cage until 11:30 at night. That, you know, what athlete performs that late at night?
There's very few, that's for sure.
So for me, I've always been a big fan. Start on time. The fights should flow. There should never be any major breaks in between the fights. And that's, you're going to expect nothing less from Worlds Collide.
Awesome. And I know we're looking forward to it at MyMMANews.com. If anyone's listening and they want to call in, be sure to call in at 323-870-4011. Tom, this weekend you guys got a meet and greet going on. You had one a couple of weeks ago. On the same night as UFC 205 at Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmingdale. This time it's going to be the same night as, I believe, it's 206 this weekend, and it's at Buffalo Wild Wings in Center Reach. You want to tell us about the athletes that are coming? I know you, I don't know if you're announcing it yet, but you have maybe a UFC fighter coming. It's an opportunity for the fighters to meet the fans and do some interviews. Just a fun night overall.
Yeah, I mean, again, you never know what UFC fighter is going to show up. I mean, obviously with UFC Buffalo, UFC Albany going on right now, you know, fighters are, you know, knee deep doing things, especially the local fighters, because they all want to get on a card. They all want to be there. The fighters from Worlds Collide that are going to be in attendance that evening, title contender Ron Leon from Kai Next Level will be there. Title contender from Long Island MMA, Eric Ott, will be there. You also have Jillian DeCourcy will probably make another appearance. How could you not love Jillian? We also are going to have some more Kai Next Level members. You're going to have Aggressive Combat Championship, longtime veteran, the Cage Cutie, Destiny Quinones will be there. Kenny Rayside will be in attendance. And you're probably going to get a handful of other fighters. You know, you never know when Steven Oshima is going to show up or some of the other fighters. Last time it was fun. We had a really good time. I said it in social media this morning. Eric Kowal from, who's the founder of My MMA News, started covering Eugene Perez and I from the very beginning. And like I said, we're just too blessed that, he found Kyle Carroll. And that you decided to really grab the ball in the metropolitan area and run with it, because I think that, your local fighters and fight fans need to be kept abreast of what's going on and what's going on in the local community. And it was also very nice to have Kerry from In the Girls Corner get involved and also keep people abreast of what's going on. So, my hat's off to you guys, and I'm really looking forward to working with you guys Saturday night. Both two of the three proprietors will be there. Nick Canobio will be there. I'll be there. It's a little bit of a travel for Eugene to get there. But Nick and I will be there along with many of the other fighters. Of course, we're going to be doing promotions where you could get discounts on tickets. And we're going to get together. We're going to watch another great night of fights, with the UFC, and really, get an opportunity for some of these local fans at, one of our official sponsors, Buffalo Wild Wings, to see some of these up and coming stars that are coming out of New York that, one of these days they're going to watch on a TV and they're going to say, I remember being in Buffalo Wild Wings and meeting, Jillian DeCourcy, who's, fighting in the professional ranks right now, and that's always very exciting for the fight fans. And that's what we want to do. We want the fight fans to be excited. We want the fighters to get exposure. It is the one major difference that, we certainly wanted to do with Worlds Collide. We are in consistent negotiation over the last couple of weeks of bringing on major networks. I can't mention, but they are national networks that are looking to cover, the organization. So, there's a lot of exciting news going on. And the most important thing is giving the fighters the exposure. And not only will they be able to be seen on flowcombat.com, but, the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's Eve, it'll be the fight will be shown at every Buffalo Wild Wings in a metropolitan area. We're certainly going to do a showing party and try to invite all the fighters to come down and fight fans to come down and, watch the recap of the fights that evening. Should be fun. And it's all about the fighter exposure. It should be a great experience for the fighters. And that's what we're looking to do, especially with this meet and greet.
Awesome. So ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go to the meet and greet, meet the fighters, 7-9 at Buffalo Wild Wings in Center Reach on Long Island. Be sure, come check it out. It's an awesome event. It was a blast last time. Got some interviews going on. Like Mr. Kilkenny said, there'll be promotional discounts for the tickets, so be sure to get tickets. If you want to get tickets for the fights, go to KTFO.com or ACCMMA.com, and you can purchase tickets on there as well. Tom, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you. I love the fact that you, Eugene Perez, and Nick Canobio are putting on a great platform for the fighters to be recognized and to just perform their art, because it is art. It's a great sport. Mixed martial arts is a wonderful thing that's growing and still growing in the Long Island, New York State area. So, Tom, as always, it's a pleasure having you on.
Kyle, you're a gentleman, a scholar. I want to thank you for what you do for the combative sports community in the tri-state area. And, continue to do what you do. Nobody makes a fortune doing what they do, but we all do it for the sport that we love. We all do it for the fighters. And if anybody asks me what kind of legacy that I want to leave this sport, it's that I always put the fighter first. And, with working with people like yourself, Eric Kowal, and certainly, my partners, Eugene Perez and Nick Canobio, it's all about the fighters. And I think that more people like us out there, the fighter will be able to rise to the occasion and they'll get what they deserve. Hard work and dedication equals results. And again, thank you so much for the interview. I really appreciate it. Hopefully I answered some questions and gave some information.
No, it was a pleasure having you on as always, Tom. I love listening to you talk about the MMA community and learning some background in the New York State area in the MMA community. For those who are interested in listening to our next interview, is going to be with Red Pottinger tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio right here at 9 p.m. So be sure to tune in. And then Sunday, we're going to have Julian DeCourcy and Gabrielle Golfin on the show as well at 9 p.m. So be sure to tune in. And on Sunday, Carrie Stellers of In the Girls Corner will be joining me as a co-host. So for those of you who want to join in and listen, be sure to call in, check it out. Thank you, Tom, once again for coming on. It was a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. We are out of here. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
Thank you.